Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life radio show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Hello, everyone, and this is Dr. Joanne White, and welcome to the Power Your Life radio show. We have a great lineup of guests today, and my first guest is actually calling from England, so we thank her for doing that, and she said it's about 5 o'clock there, so, and wherever you are, whatever time it is in your time zone, we are bringing you information today about relationships and about romance and about infidelity and about lots of stuff. So stay tuned. And if you are interested in talking to myself or talking to our guests, the call-in number is 805-285-9790. Now, romance is something that's in everybody's hearts at different times of their lives. And relationships are not always easy. Actually, they can be very, very challenging, and oftentimes when people are in relationships, there are lots of struggles and lots of things to get over, and infidelity is what Christina Young, my first guest, is going to talk about. Infidelity in relationships is a huge challenge, and according to some research and statistics that there's about 30 to 40%, actually I read something recently that's actually about 43-44% that many people in a relationship experience pain, hurt, whatever that they go through regarding infidelity. So it's not something that happens at a small level. It's something that really happens a lot, and many people are having to struggle with their choices during this time. Christina Young, known as the Healing Heart Coach through her work as a surviving infidelity and relationship coach, specializes in helping women emerge whole after infidelity. She assists women to confront and overcome infidelity and other challenges in their life and which can affect their relationships. Christina has appeared in the media and in national newspapers and magazines, and her husband, Doug, one day announced that he'd been unfaithful from the beginning of their marriage for 24 years. And she had a choice, and we're going to talk to her more about her choice because people do have choices, and I like to applaud that we have choices. And without further ado, I'm going to talk to, are you there? Talk to Christina and introduce you to her, folks, and her to
Hello,
you.
Hello, Joe. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. It's wonderful. Now, Christina, you and I were talking a little bit before the show, and I just wanted to talk. We were talking about forgiveness because somebody had wrote in and tweeted something about why is it that we are always, as women, we are always the ones that are forgiving. We are the always, and why isn't it the man that's doing that? But you and I were talking about that whole aspect of forgiveness. And I just wanted to read a very brief quote that you said that I think is really touches upon it and upon what I do in my coaching and counseling practice and what you do also with as a relationship coach and working with women. And you said that forgiveness is a gift that you give to yourself. And I'm going to say that again because I need that to sink into our listening audience. Forgiveness is the gift that you give to yourself. So it's simple, but it's really very powerful. So you learn that early on in your marriage. Actually, you learn later on. You learn that Doug very early on in your marriage was cheating and doing so for 24 years. what was your first response? How did you deal with it? And why did you decide to stay in the marriage?
Well, when Doug first announced it, to be honest, it was just such a shock for me, in that he was someone I had trusted 100%. And so the only way I can describe it is a bit like having an out-of-body experience, as if it was happening to somebody else rather than myself. And that sort of was, you know, probably only a matter of, you know, no more than a few minutes, that I didn't really know what to say. I didn't go into a place of anger or screaming at him, which, you know, of course, some women would. It was just, I was very numb. And then it was probably about, you know, I'd say probably only was a few minutes later, although I felt as if I was standing on the same spot for quite a while. Just sort of said, you know, I've got to get out of here. And at the time, we were at a hotel in Austria, and I sort of walked outside, and it was like it sort of hit me what had happened, what he'd said, and I became very hysterical and was, like, sobbing uncontrollably. And then after that, it was very much going on, you know, I went on to this emotional roller coaster, which, you know, one minute I would be like crying, the next minute I was numb. It was like a betrayal. It was as if someone had died, because it was like this person wasn't the person I thought he was. And of course, the anger really kicked in as well. So I became very angry and was firing very explicit questions at him. But to be honest, not even really waiting for an answer. It was just like, you know, sort of, you know, firing out of a shotgun. But I think the one thing that for me that I, you know, after the initial sort of day, you know, although I was on this emotional roller coaster, but the one thing for me I knew was that I wasn't going to make a knee-jerk reaction, which is, you know, I'm sure when you yourself working with clients, Joe, is that in a situation like, you know, infidelity, or, you know, even if it's something else, you know, major within a relationship, often we will, you know, it's more sort of, if you like, natural to sort of say, that's it, the relationship's over, you know, get out. But, you know, as I say when I work with clients, is that, you know, how can you make such a major decision when you're, you know, what I call being in your head, because that's where all your fear is running. And so for me, I knew I had to get myself back into a calm space and to take care of myself at that time, because, you know, I wasn't going to allow him to sort of bring me down, if you like, and put me in. I knew I had to sort of do some work on myself and get myself calm. And when I was ready for that, then I would then start to think, okay, am I ready to talk? Because, you know, so often, you know, couples, when this happens, you know, all they can do is like scream and shout at each other rather than sit down rationally and talk through what's happened, which is something I knew that, you know, we had to do at some point. But until I had done, you know, I needed to work on me, which is really what I did. And I was fortunate enough to be able to go away for about 6 weeks. And in that time, I spent a lot of time, you know, doing things like reading, listening to meditations. You know, I'm very big on affirmations. You know, so anything that would put me into a much more positive space. I'm not saying that every day it worked, because, you know, I was on this roller coaster of emotions. But after, I say, it was about 6 weeks.
We lost our guest, so stand by, and hopefully she'll be calling back again. That was Christina Young talking about infidelity and her challenge with it. And I don't know where she is. So, folks, infidelity is something that people have to confront on a, like I said earlier, lots of times in their relationships, Doug, Christina's husband, was forthcoming. Well, he waited 24 years, but he was forthcoming about finally revealing that he was being unfaithful. And oftentimes women and men find out because their partners finally wanted to reveal that information, or they find out through another way. And in this particular area, what Christina did was she went on to help other women, which I think is very admirable. She really went on to become that relationship coach and to help women through that very, very difficult time. And I think that says a lot about her, and that commends her, too, for her strength and her ability. Oftentimes when we have challenges and we're going through them alone, sometimes there's an understanding as we go through the challenge that we know what we've been doing, and we also can help others go through that as well because we've learned so much. And that's so very, very important. And what she did was she actually did exactly that. She went on and decided to help others who were suffering from infidelity, and that was very important. So, and it's actually helped a lot of women. And so when she works with women who've gone through that, and it's a very painful process, Christina mentioned just minutes ago that it was like being in an out-of-body experience. And it was for her. And oftentimes when anyone goes through any kind of pain that they feel that they're leaving their bodies, that's what the out-of-body experience is, because it's too painful to address. And that's really, really important to know. So, I don't know where she is, and I'm hoping that we can get her back on the line. So, in the meantime, let's just talk about, if anybody want to call in and talk about anonymously their experiences with infidelity or their experiences in terms of how they handle relationships, because oftentimes, and again, I think this is a tribute and a strength of Christina Young in that what she did was she was actually able to get past it. How many people are able to get past it? And when she was able to get past it, she was able to find the strength and to recognize also, and that's something that she and I spoke about, to recognize that some of that was actually, you know, she had to take some responsibility for what was going on in the relationship. And oftentimes we do have to take responsibility for what's happening in the relationship and finding out, well, what is going on? I'm not saying that all infidelity is about, oh my God, it's my fault that my husband, or it's my fault that my wife was unfaithful. But I think that we have to take a closer look at our relationships and at what's going on with our relationships and really examine that to see that we are doing everything that we can to make the relationship work. And sometimes when you're married, it's not like, okay, I don't have to work at a relationship anymore. Go to my website, www.drjoannewhite.com, and I have a book, How to Love, Secrets to Lasting Relationships, that's really like a primer to help people, men and women alike, really look at the most important aspects, the most important ways that they can support the relationship and keep the love and the romance in the relationship no matter what stage the relationship is at. And I think that's key. But again, there are going to be some men and some women that are going to stray. And I think that Doug, and I don't know that till Christina's able to get back on the line. Now, she was calling from England, and so that may have been the challenge here, and we're hoping that she's here again. call-in number is 805-285-9790, and I'm hoping that anybody who's interested in discussing romance and fidelity and relationships will call back and call in so that we can talk. But I think what's happening in relationships is something that's really, really important, is that you can't take your partner for granted. You really have to find ways, whatever those ways are, to really let your partner know in no uncertain terms how special they are. And Christina was talking earlier that forgiveness is the gift that you give to yourself. In my book on how to love, Secrets to Lasting Relationships, I talk about also to recognize what a gift the relationship is. And really, in a way, the gift that somebody, not that we're not unlovable, but that somebody has chosen you for your specialness, for your uniqueness, has chosen to be with you, and no matter what. I mean, and usually people get married young and they go through all different kinds of stages and life challenges. And so it's really something that's incredibly important to have that ability to stay together. And it's not something that is a lofty goal. It takes energy and it takes work, as well as making sure that there's fun involved, and it's really, really very important. So I think that if you need to stay in a relationship, you decide that that's important, whether you're coming from infidelity or not, I think what's very, very important is to recognize that you as an individual and also as a couple need to find ways to really bring balance into the relationship. Each person has values and different belief systems, and you're not always going to think the same or agree to the same things, and that's fine. But at the same time, I think it's really important to tend to the relationship. And Christina, are you there?
Yes, I don't know what happened there. All of a sudden, I realized I'd been talking for quite a while, and I thought, she's not there.
And I was, right, so I don't know why the line was dropped. So I'm so glad you're back, because this is so interesting, and we're probably going to have you on the air again, because we lost some time, and we'll do that, that's fine, because I think this is an important topic. So you were talking about how you spent weeks away, and you did reading and meditating and affirmations, and you got really clear. And so then what happened? Because I want to get to some other important things in terms of what you do with people who are going through that process as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically after, I say, about 6 weeks, Doug and I actually did sit down and we sort of spoke together for about 3 or 4 hours. And it was probably the first time that we had actually spoken so openly and honestly with each other in our relationship. And I don't know if you find this, Joe, but, you know, what I found with clients is that so often communication is just one of the real downfalls in relationships. And we spent a lot of time. And from there, I decided that I wanted to move on, and which is what we did. And a lot of the things that we had learned about communicating that, you know, we sort of put into place. You know, Doug came from a very different place in, you know, the one thing I think women want, you know, one thing women want is certainty. And during that period, Doug gave me a lot of certainty. You know, he didn't raise his voice with me. He didn't become a sort of a lapdog, if you know what I mean. You know, he wasn't
right.
Just saying, you know, yes, you know, and like, you know, like having this whole guilt because of what he'd done. It was certainty from a, you know, to make sure that, you know, he was there and he was going to, you know, and he was very open and very honest. And he'd always said, well, you know, from the time he told me that he would answer any questions, you know, even though he felt that some might not be appropriate. He said, if you want to know, I will answer them, you know, openly and honestly to you, which he did. And for me, I knew that if we were going to get back together, I had to forgive. There is no point in just saying you're going to work on a relationship if you're not prepared to forgive. And as you said at the beginning of the program, is, you know, I'm a firm believer, you know, forgiveness is the gift that you're giving yourself, because, you know, why would you want to hold on, you know, to, you know, underlying bad energies, which is really what, you know, anger and sort of hurt is all about. And it's actually much easier to love than it is to hate.
We were talking earlier about how toxic that hatred and that venom is that you hold on to when you can't forgive, and you're just holding that. You're holding yourself hostage, I think, more than the other person. Now, you went on then, Christina, to work with other couples and specifically to work with women to help them mend their relationships and get through the pain and the angst and everything that goes with that experience. So can you share what that's like too, what you're doing in terms of your coaching and working with other women who've gone through that?
Yeah, you know, how I work with someone is usually over a sort of a 6-session period. And, you know, one of the sessions we will look at, you know, say it's just a woman I'm working with, which is that we will have a look about, you know, how she had been showing up in the relationship. You know, it would be very much an exploratory, if you like, session on, you know, what her upbringing was like, you know, how she was. But, you know, also by working with someone, you know, as a coach, you know, that's part of being able to see how that person is operating and what sort of, if you like, do you know what I mean when I say archetype, you know?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, sort of what sort of archetype, you know, also, you know, is she, you know, whether she's coming from a masculine place or a feminine place, looking at, you know, and explaining all about the human needs with her, you know, and if I work, you know, if it's with working with, like, you know, a man and a couple together, then, you know, of course, we're looking at both sides from a woman's point of view and a man's point of view. Because so often couples, you know, when infidelity strikes, anyone who doesn't actually know about, if you like, our patterning, if you want to call it that, you know, they just think it's very black and white, you know, my husband has cheated or my wife has cheated, you know, because it's not all just men who do it, you know, women do it as well.
Oh, sure. And actually the statistics for women are rising now. A lot more women are doing it than ever before. You said something. Go ahead.
No, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. My thought on that is, I think it's because, you know, I know I was interviewed once about infidelity, and did I think it was more accepting? Was it acceptable? And I said, no, I don't think infidelity is acceptable, but I do think it is more accepting these days. And I think also with how women are becoming much more prominent, if you like, especially in the UK, there's a lot of women out there doing lots of, you know, a lot more women doing coaching now and helping other women. And it seems there's this sort of, you know, I'm quite spiritual, and I feel there is this big shift going on in the female energies at the moment. And, you know, and I think maybe because of that is women are stepping into their power a lot more. And rightly or wrongly, I don't think that, you know, by, you know, if you like, being unfaithful or, you know, to your partners, is that to me is taking too much control. But, you know, I am a firm believer that if infidelity strikes in a relationship, then obviously the relationship is not working at some level.
Now, you talked about communication as being key, and I totally agree with you, and also key in eroding the relationship and maybe why some people turn to infidelity. What else causes a partner to sort of sway and leave and look for someone else?
I think, it, you know, going back to, you know, very much the masculine-feminine, and, you know, a man is very much, you know, we are very different. You know, a woman is very emotional, where a man is very logical. But a man very much, you know, if they in any way are made to feel, if you like, insignificant, then they will look elsewhere to feel, to get that significance. Sometimes that's not just infidelity. That could be by just working 24/7, because at work they feel more in control. It could be they might turn to drink, you know, just going to the pub all the time, or in serious cases you could, you know, go into like drugs and that sort of thing. But for me, I think a lot of it is if a man isn't felt, if you like, the master of his castle, you know, you sort of go back to the old, you know, the knights, the round table and all that, you know, men were men, you know, they were the, if you like, the hunters, and at a certain extent now, I think a lot of the energies have shifted, and in some ways, I think the men have sort of lost their power a little bit, you know, although a lot of people don't even, it's at such an unconscious level, they don't even realise it, that what's actually happening. But I think dynamics are changing, which I don't think is a good thing. You know, I think it's good that women, you know, are becoming not more powerful, but, you know, are having more of a say, and, you know, that they're, you know, for them to go out and if they want to work and do more higher power jobs, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But it's very much about how they do it. You know, if the, in their relationships, they're trying to be the one wearing the trousers, the man is not going to feel comfortable and not feel significant, and that's when I think they will start to go and look elsewhere.
Well, here there's more of an equalization of power, and many women, men are participating in cooking and in child care and in laundry many men are staying home and opting to do that. I actually remember when I was working as an executive director, I hired a man to be a principal of an extensive program, who had spent, his wife went back to work, and he had spent, right after their child was born, and he had spent that first year bonding with the child while she went to work, and then decided to go back into being a principal. So he took the time off. So I'm not sure that, you know, I think that's wonderful that there that energy is shifting, and I think perhaps there needs to be more of masculine and feminine energy equalized in all of us, so that we can get to that place. But you also mentioned something early on, and also something that you sent me, and that is that you had to take a look, a really strong look at yourself. And from what you were saying about your coaching, you do that with women as well. You had to look at where your role in the situation. How did you come to do that? We only have about 5 minutes left, so.
Well, I think for me, the biggest thing for me in finding out really how I'd been showing up, which I know wasn't right at the time, but, you know, as you're aware, you know, I've written a book, and that was a very big eye-opener when I was actually, because the book is not just about what happened with Doug and I, there's also stories relating to what happened in my childhood. And how, and various other, you know, stories through my teenage years, and how, and all of a sudden when I was writing it, I thought I could see how I was as a person at that time. So, but, you know, I think with the coaching that I'd, my trainings I'd done, I'd learned a lot around relationships and the masculine and the feminine energies, and having that knowledge enabled me to step back and have a look at, you know, how I'd been operating and showing up in the relationship. And I'm not sure if this was when we got cut off, when I was still talking or not, I said this, tell me if I'm repeating myself. But I was, you know, I know that I was actually becoming, you know, although it was done at an unconscious level, I was actually very controlling in our relationship. I was the one who was very much sort of saying, you know, what was and what wasn't, which, you know, is not right in a relationship. And, you know, back on just what you said about, you know, how different men are doing different roles at home now and everything. I don't say that that is wrong, but I think it comes down to the communication with the your partners on, you know, and the, how the dynamics will be. And, you know, if the woman does, you know, is out working or has got the more powerful role, if you like, the job, as long as that person is still making her partner feel significant and putting him, you know, if you like, still high up on the tree, if you like, then of course. But it comes back to communication. It comes back about being completely honest and open, because, you know, if you know, a man is at home, even if he chooses that's what he wants to do, is to be at home, and, you know, he's happy for his wife. The makeup of a man and woman that's not how it's meant to be. And I think if a man, you know, if the couple don't communicate with each other, you know, at a really honest level of how they, you know, this is how it's going to be, but, you know, I still want to make you feel good and, you know, be a wife to you. I just don't want to be a business person. It comes down to communication.
I think that's communication, like you said in the beginning and now, because it's so important, is key, and it's key in any relationship, whether you're going through infidelity, raising children, any kind of life stage. Your book, A Woman's Guide to Forgiving Infidelity, includes information about yourself and for other people, having them explore their feelings, action. You also talk about techniques and exercises as a relationship counselor that people can use. And it helps to help other women, and so how, and even men too, because I think that this book is also a good resource for couples in general. How can people get a hold
absolutely.
Of you? Go ahead, Christina, because my other guest is on the line, and I don't want to shortchange her. I'm going to have you back again. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. It can be got through Amazon or Barnes and Noble, or if you go into any bookshop, you can just order it.
Okay, and what if people want to get a hold of you? Do you do coaching on the phone, or is it just in person?
Yes, I can do it over. I coach people in the States, so it can be done on Skype or it can be done over the phone. And if they want to go to my website, which is just christinayoung.co.uk, they will find my contact details on there.
Okay, great. Christina, you've been wonderful. I'm sorry that we got cut off before. I don't know what that glitch was. But we'll have to do it again. Many blessings to you. And I have to say to you that choosing to stay in the marriage is really an act of courage and an act of strength. Many people would say, oh, it was easier to leave. But it's really courageous to stay. So I honor you for doing that.
Thank
and
you.
Making it work.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It takes a lot of effort in the beginning, you know, to keep it going. But we get there.
Good, but it's paid off. Thanks so much for being a great guest. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, and you. Bye bye.
Thanks. Bye bye. And folks, we're talking about relationships, and we're going to shift gears a little bit because we've been talking about infidelity, and now we're going to talk a lot about dating and finding the love of your life with Bernadette Smith, who's a personal dating diva, and she helps men and women do just that, find the loves of their life by asking the right questions. And she has a program that's called Seek, Sort, and Select, and we'll talk about that more. She is the founder of Empowering Enterprises, which supports, educates, and coaches professional women in major life transitions. And her business has evolved to encompass personal development, transformation, and her focus is on serving singles to looking for the love of their life. She has two books out that focus on finding the right partner and achieving deeper intimacy and love. So, Bernadette, are you on the air?
I am. Hello.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. So many people are single and frustrated and want to find the love of their lives. And every day I get an email that says, from God knows where, how you can find the love of your life spiritually or emotionally, whatever. And, you have a process that you've developed over time, and it really came from actually out of your own life experience. So can you share that first about how you shifted gears and really began to cultivate this program?
Well, for me, Joanne, I lost a 25-year marriage, so the last date I had was back in high school. Although getting class flirt certainly helped, not dating in more than two decades certainly didn't. So what I chose to do as a coach, and I do believe it all begins with us to take action and make the change happen, I decided to do research. So for the first 2.5 years after divorce, I researched and went on every venue I could think of on how to meet men that were like-minded quickly, but also not making anyone wrong or making me right, just learning more about myself and also this thing so-called dating. So, you know, I found online dating very helpful as a single. It gave you company at night when you wanted to feel special because you would always go to your email and pick up a hello, how are you, or you look cute, or I've enjoyed reading your profile. But it's also a slippery slope if you really don't have a plan of who you are and what you want, and if you're really going for compatibility, to ask yourself some really tough questions about, you know, this is a second choice, what do you really want? And what I found for myself, Joanne, was that it was kind of fun being single all of a sudden in a way. You have a lot of freedom. You do have time to look at yourself and do some things maybe that you didn't have time to do when raising a family. So the research really helped me learn more about who I was and what I really wanted. So I was able to be perfectly clear with my communication, with asking important questions that were important to me to see who they were showing up. So that's what I love to do, help people learn who is this person sitting in front of me. And usually one meet, you can pretty much get to what you need to know.
Well, you know what? I think we need to dive into that a little bit too, because as of late, I've had several women in my coaching business practice who've come to me, and I even had somebody on the radio show a while ago who were talking about being involved with a psychopath, a man that seems to have know what to say, seems to have great sex appeal, but also at the same time seems to not care whether he's taking your money or lying to you or whatever. And the percentage of that is incredible. There's a really large percentage of sociopaths out there that I was amazed to find out from one of the guests. So you're saying that you're able to help women and men, help them find within minutes that yes. information and ask the right questions. So can you give us some tips on the show?
Well, right questions, Joanne, are really about knowing who you are. And so for me personally, having free time and doing things with your free time is very important to me. I don't mind working hard, but I also like to play just as hard. So, again, if people are looking for a common ground, it really is in the art of your question. And it's not about going out and grilling people or interviewing them. It's really how do you really have a conversation with someone using questions that are important to you. So, for example, if having freedom, I didn't need a 24/7 type of relationship. I really wanted someone who had a full life. Also, and then we could bring them together and, you know, enjoy our free time together. So obviously a question for me when I met people was, what do you do with your free time? It seems like a really simple question, but Joanne, you can gather so much information from something as simple as free time. And what that may sound like in an answer would be, free time? Are you kidding me? I hate my boss. I can't even get out of the, you don't even get me started. So what does that mean to me? Well, there's maybe a great guy, but not a great guy for me. So I'm pretty much done. And when people can get that clear and no, there is no settling, because, Joanne, I'll tell you, there are some great guys out there. There are great girls and great guys out there. They're just not finding each other. But again, the questions, the art of the question is huge, and it's really about you and not making the men wrong or the ladies wrong. So
now,
free time is very important.
Do you actually do matchmaking?
Well, it's interesting you say that. I don't claim that. I actually do online matchmaking. I can absolutely take a client, go online with them, and show them her picks and set her up with her right questions based on who she is and what she wants. So it is I would tell you I'm absolutely an online matchmaker. And they usually are eliminated. They don't even have to leave the home. I tell them go from the email to the phone because you can get some great curious questions just from the email, just from the phone, and you don't even have to buy pantyhose to leave the house.
You know, I've spoken to several women who say that online dating, and you've had a different experience, Bernadette, but that online dating with a lot of men is a sham. Some men are playing, and they're not really serious, and they may even be in relationships, and they're just doing that because it's kind of boosting their egos. And so some women are not trusting the online dating.
That's huge. And one of my biggest issues that I own, Joanne, is trust. I have a really tough time trusting. But when you get curious questions that men or women have never heard before, they look at you and they don't know how to answer it. So you catch them being out of integrity. For example, I had a client who actually had a really good feeling that the gentleman was married. So one of her curious questions is, does your wife allow you to do sleepovers? And he's never heard that before. And he just started laughing. He couldn't control himself. So what does that tell you, Joanne, as a psychologist?
That there's some guilt going on there, and he's been caught, and he didn't expect that question to begin with, so he doesn't know how to answer, and he couldn't hide it.
No, he can't. And so that's how good these questions can be for women that are online. I think it's so much easier to get a zip code than it is, and to know something about someone, and a zip code is something, than it is to walk into a room full of singles. It felt, when I did it, it was so much work. I didn't know where to begin. At least they may cut and paste their profiles from somewhere else. But if they're not going to be responsible for the words that they put on their profile, I have to tell you, Joanne, my favorite word in this line of work is next. And so my girls learn the word next. It's great, and it's very quick.
You've been working with women primarily over 40. Tell us some of the challenges that they face when they're trying to find a person online or in the online services, matchmaking services.
Well, what's really sweet about the women after losing long-term marriages, because I'm finding women losing 25, 30, 40 years marriages, and they're cute and they're innocent, and they're trying to do this without any skills or tools, and it's very hard for them because some of them they look like the girl next door, and they are eaten alive. They really do. Their challenge is really to, first of all, if they're really ready for dating. And I have to tell you, Joanne, everybody dates for different reasons. And so I'm not here to tell you marriage is for everyone, because it's not. Some people are looking for companions. So what I do with the ladies is get them really clear with, in the big picture, what do you really want? Do you want to be married again? Are you just looking for a companion to keep you company on the weekends and do, you know, movies or dates and things like that? Because the more clear they are, the easier it is for them to ask their curious questions and get a compatible partner. So I think the biggest challenge they have when I first meet them, Joanne, is clarity. You have to be ready, you have to be willing, and you have to have the space in your life to create a relationship. And that's another problem. Some of them don't think they have, but they really do, you know, because a lot of them do have full-time jobs, and they are very demanding. So they might just be looking for a guy for a burger on Wednesday, and that's okay too.
So I think what you're saying is, firstly, people have to be comfortable. They have to identify what they're looking for in a relationship and in a partnership and even in dating. and then be able to find that right match. But also, it's kind of a soul searching in a way, Bernadette, because they have to kind of go inside and figure out who they are a little bit to be able to find the right match.
Absolutely. In fact, it's easy when you think of it this way, in that I'd like to be the person I'd like to date. You know, almost
like
an alter ego.
Right.
And
now
differences are great, too.
You teach singles how to get to know a perfect stranger, you say, in 3 minutes or less.
Absolutely.
So how does that work? Because there are lots of dating services where it's like meet for lunch or quick dating, whatever that, I don't even know what that's called, speed dating is what it's called,
where you're
going from one table to another and you literally have 3 minutes with each person and there are lots of people there. And so what do you do in 3 minutes? What kind of questions can you ask in 3 minutes that really are targeting the right for the right responses so that you know that this is the person?
Well, it's based on your core values, that, you know, what characteristic traits in you do you really admire? What's important to you? What are your core values? And so if I were to ask you that, Joanne, what words pop off in the top of your head if I say to you, what's really most important to you? What are your core values? What makes you you?
Integrity.
Right.
Loyalty, honesty, personability. I like to work hard, so I have a hard work ethic, but like you, I also like to play hard. So those are very important values. Fidelity,
right.
Trust. Trust is key.
Trust is key. So if you're wanting to draw character traits from someone, a great question would be, who is your hero? Do you have a hero? And if you did have a hero, what's so good about your hero? Now, if you can hear the injections in my voice, it's called, flirting. And if women could really get comfortable with flirting, I think it's a lost art. It's sincere, it's real, and it really makes people feel safe in their space because it's playful. I'm being serious, but I don't want to be in an interview. They already have a boss. I'm looking for a compatible partner. So if I were to ask you, Joanne, so do you have a hero?
I do, actually. I have different kinds of heroes. I have work heroes. I have mentors that are my heroes. I remember reading Little Women when I was young, and the woman in that book, the young girl in that book, was my hero for the longest time because she was a writer like myself, but she also cared about her family, and I just remember really kind of seeing her in that way.
Oh, great. So here's what I just heard you say. You're a lifelong learner. You like writing, and you have a huge family value. And that to me, like if you were a guy, I would say, okay, well, he's good to go. He's not next. I would say, wow. So tell me more about that. Like, what do you do with your free time? Do you see how now it turns into a conversation?
Sure.
And people are more comfortable?
Now, what if people can't answer that question? Do you have a hero? Who's your hero?
You mean they wouldn't have a hero?
Yeah, maybe somebody has. Yeah, maybe they've never even thought about it that way. Or a guy might say a hero. I don't know. Or maybe, yeah, really, a hero.
Well, then I would say, I would again try to go for values. I'm looking for character traits. So I'm not going to lose that on a first meet. So I'll go back to something like, do you have a best friend? Because in my book, friends are important in life, period. So I would beware of someone that has no friends.
Right. So, again, it would be looking at their lives and their values.
Exactly.
And seeing that it matches. Now, I agree with you that values are key in terms of compatibility. But you also see relationships wherein, and not about values, because I don't think that's not always negotiable. But what I'm thinking is that there are many relationships where you always hear opposites attract, and I work a lot with couples, and I see the differences, how one person is so different from another, but they complement one another because they each have different strengths that they bring to the relationship.
That's true, and I think that's really nice to have in a relationship. I would absolutely look for a compatible partner that would complement my weaknesses, so to speak, and vice versa. But in my true, there are some things about opposites. Like I'm an extreme extrovert, and I married an extreme introvert. So I'm here to tell you my personal experience was opposites may attract, but eventually they attack. And like your first guest had mentioned, communication is really key to relationships. And when that breaks down, and sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, but I will tell you, everyone, couples, married couples, it doesn't matter, eventually everybody will hit the wall. And what's important about that, Joanne, is, well, what do you do when you hit the wall? So opposites may attract, but if they don't have good communication skills or even know how to compromise, sometimes they can hit heads. And that's a problem.
Actually, I think that's so true because I think oftentimes people can fight and challenge one another, and they can get so hurtful, Bernadette, and so ferocious in the way that you said the attack place, in the way that they're attacking it. It's sometimes it's even hard to then be able to salvage, or because you can't take back what you've said. Can apologize, but that sting is there, and sometimes that lasts for years.
Right, and truly, Joanne, I think if I had to bottom line this, looking for compatible partners, it would be to really go out there and try to understand the way someone sees the world, and how they show up in the world in which they see.
So how do you see the world?
Oh, I see it as gray, Joanne. It's gray. I really believe that. You know, there's not. It's not just black and white. I think judgment is not a good thing because I think we're all doing our best and we all have our itty-bitty wars that we're fighting personally. And if people could really come and understand that, and especially in the dating game, that if you do meet someone that seems to not be able to stop talking about his ex, instead of complaining about it, it's because he hasn't done the grieving because of it. So that's the way I see the world. I really am a Stephen Covey fan. It's really great for me.
Great. So in your seek, sort, and select process, what else do you cover? With women and men.
You mean in the program itself, or?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I call it seek, sort, and select because the seek part for the for them is how to be specific with your wants, needs, and desires. And then the sort comes from know your toleration level. And by toleration, I mean what are you putting up with? Is it a limitation? Is it a deal breaker? Is it something you can live with? Because relationships, you know, you don't, when you're meeting people, you don't necessarily have to throw out the baby with the bathwater. It's like, well, is that a deal breaker for you? And if it's not, then take another date, you know, give them another chance, or, you know, see, ride the wave out is what I tell them. Select, Joanne, is about how, where, and, you know, where do you go to find like-minded people? And I hear this all the time, and you probably do too. Well, where are they if they're out there? Well, again, it's what do you like to do with your time? For me, what I did was I went and asked actually my mother, and I said, well, what did I do with my free time when I was much younger? And she said, oh, you danced. I said, well, that was true, and maybe that was something I forgot about myself in raising children. And a 25-year marriage, but I went back and I started taking dancing lessons as a student. And, you know, and of course I took group lessons, so there were guys and girls there, so I met a lot of people. But I was also building a singles community, Joanne, which is really important for single guys and girls to do, especially after divorce or losing a loved one. It becomes your new normal. So where are they? They're where your interests lie, whether it's a golf clinic. I put myself in a golf clinic with women, and I have to tell you, every sport, as you probably already know, comes with a personality and a type.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not an Eagles fan, although, you know, I grew up in a big family where Eagles and Phillies go. However, for me personally, I wasn't really interested in those types of things, so I really didn't want an Eagles fan. I was really looking for someone that absolutely knew nothing much about sports. And believe it or not, Joanne, I found him.
And that wasn't going to spend Bernadette every Sunday glued to the television set or the computer watching those games and Monday night and God knows what, right?
Exactly. So. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just not a compatible partner for me personally.
Oh, yeah, because there are lots of women that are get just as engaged and just as involved in sports. So, right, they need that kind of
person. And my
daughter
is. She's huge. She loves the sports and could tell you all about the players and all kinds of things that I have
not me. I'm with you. I like dancing.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit
about your books because and how people can get a hold of them. We have a couple of minutes left,
okay.
And I want to make sure that people know how to reach you and how to get a hold of these books to help them find the right partner and achieve deeper intimacy.
Thanks, Joanne. My website is empoweringenterprisescoaching.com, and that's a mouthful. So if you Google Bernadette M, as in Matchmaker Smith, that will lead you to my website, and you can purchase the books on the website through PayPal or any major credit card whatsoever. I also offer an invitation to come and have a dating coaching call to see if we could be a match together to work together. I think that's really important. It's a two-way street. And, again, everybody dates for different reasons. So there is a process of qualifying the client for myself. However, it's a lot of fun, and I will have to tell you that everybody who does it loves it because these are life skills forever. And you will absolutely bring them into your coupling, which may or may not lead to marriage, your choice.
And it depends on what the desire of the couple, too, right?
Exactly.
So what are the names of your books so that people know what to look for if they're looking for them specifically?
Well, one is specific for singles. And like I talked about the curious questions, I give them 101 dating questions that they're able to take out there in their single world to your speed dating or your meets or your coffee dates or whatever you do, but it all begins with a curious question, a conversation. So I have categories of communication, basically life purpose, relationship questions, happiness, what makes them happy, friends in general, exploration with curiosity, and sexual touching and emotional needs. So the one book is great to getting the singles off the ground and into relationships, and the second one is going deeper in as a couple. So there's 101 questions for couples, and there's also a quiz in there to help couples get to know each other even deeper and fonder than they may already do. They love the questions. Their questions, they're transformational, Joanna. By that I mean they're life-changing questions. It's something that you really have to think about and maybe come back and answer. But it's great to ask these questions, you know, over cocktails or a coffee and, you know, when you have the time and you're relaxed.
You know, I think it's great because it helps you get closer, like you're saying, also to yourself and what you like and really kind of brings in that perfect match for you and so you know that you're on the right track with the questions, and I think it's a great way to go about it. I wish you a lot of luck. Don't be surprised if you get some phone calls because you're located in New Jersey. And people, don't forget to go to Bernadette M and check out Bernadette Smith, and we're going to be cut off any minute, so have a blessed day. Thanks so much
for
being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Joanne. It was great.
My pleasure. Thanks. Have a great day, Bernadette.
Thank you.
Take care. You too. So, folks, we've been talking about relationships, and also just to remind you that the most important relationship is the relationship with yourself. Take a look at my book, How to Love, Secrets to Lasting Relationships, where I talk about how to love safely, growing your intimacy, and all sorts of great stuff. Go to Dr. Joanne, www.drjoannewhiteandewhite.com. Have a blessed day. We're going to shift gears next week, and we're going to go into business and marketing. So stay tuned for Power Your Life.
listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the Upbeat Show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting divatoolbox.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.